Some of it you gon' like, some of it you ain't. Tired of hearing fools complaining in barber chairs and beauty shops.
This is Truth Brothers Radio.
That's more like it.
Truth Brothers Radio. Hello, everybody. It's Monday. The Bulls are playing, and we're on. It's Truth Brothers time. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we are the Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-1202. That's 818-514-1202.
And as always, you guys know you can hit us up at our email at wewanttruth@att.net, and truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
And we are in the chat room live this evening for tonight's topic. For all your questions and comments.
All right, and everybody knows that is the producer, Supreme Candace.
Give it up.
Hello, fellas.
Give it up.
Put your hands together. Put them together.
Oh,
yeah. So how was everybody's week?
It's all right, you know. I'm living.
Yeah.
Made it to a Monday.
You too?
Yeah.
All right, Dennis, you met unanimous. Yeah, my week was that blah. Weekend was worse.
What?
But got Iron Man in. Did you see Iron Man?
Yes, sir. I wasn't missing that Iron Man.
Did you see it? No. Yeah,
no.
I saw it too. Yeah.
Did not.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, 175 million, second
wow.
highest opening in
really?
History behind the Avengers.
Marvel.
Yeah.
Because we can.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep, Marvel.
Because we
Cause can. The money is green.
Isn't it though? Isn't it though?
Must be nice, hey.
So.
Right.
Yeah, we're waiting for that Black Panther movie, that's all.
Oh, you're going to be waiting.
Yeah.
Your grandkids will probably
yeah.
see that one.
Marvel, it ain't your time yet.
Marvel. Hold on.
Hold your horses. Let's not mess this up.
Well, I throw some color into this.
Seal,
keep it ready.
Seal is the Black Panther. Like, Marvel, we gave you Nick Fury.
No. Who would make a good Black Panther?
We had said
Michael
Jai
White, I think.
Michael Jai White, Idris Elba.
Yeah, that was man, who was that? Someone was just advocating for your boy from Boys in the Hood. No. Morris Chestnut. He was advocating for trying to be Panther.
I can see him.
He's more like a Luke Cage than a Black Panther.
I was gonna say I don't think his.
But Michael Jai White got the same kind of like build.
And
he like
played Spawn, didn't he?
Yeah, but can he pull off the accent?
No,
that's
what
I think. Idris Elba would probably be perfect because he could pull off the accent.
But he ain't got he wear a decent suit, you know.
Yeah, you gotta have an African accent.
I don't think Idris is all that tall.
He's about six.
Him dog? Yeah.
Yeah, he's about six.
Is
yeah.
it?
Yeah. 6 feet. Yeah. 6 feet. Let me just clear that up real quick. Let me clear
that's
that up real
tough.
Quick.
No one was even thinking like
but
that.
You know me. I don't want to go Jason Collins in here, so I just keep it. I gotta clear that thing up.
We're waiting on you, Chris. We're waiting on Chris now.
Oh, Bosh?
Yeah.
Oh, Bosh coming out there.
Oh, wait till they win another one.
Yep. Oh, he's
going to have two bottles
bag.
Of champagne. Yep.
Now this one.
Yep, and one's going to be real sticky.
I'm a different kind of winner.
Can we move on.
All right. Okay, who we hollering at?
Chris Bosh Hill. I've got the wrong paper. All right, first off, we're going to say shout out to the Bulls, man. Speaking of Chris Bosh, man, hope y'all get heat today because we all are playing the Bulls. We need this win. I want to see y'all beat the Heat. Y'all beat the Heat, y'all can go to the finals. Let's do some big, Bulls. Great win on Saturday, too. Appreciate that. Rest in peace to Chris MacDaddy Kelly, man.
Yes,
Chris
yeah.
Man, is that crazy?
That's crazy.
Is that
that's sad.
That's what drugs do to you. That's what drugs do to you, man. Stay in school.
Yeah.
Stay in school.
He was 34.
Was he still wearing his clothes back?
They found him. They found him face down with his clothes face up. Like,
Guess he jumped.
Yeah.
Guess he jumped.
Oh, Daddy. And then that mom, then they say Daddy Mac went up to Mac Daddy and said, "Hey, you all right? Yeah, we ain't no apologies for the Christmas.
Yeah,
nah, we keep it alive. No, sir.
Yeah, he's all, yeah.
He, look, when you die from doing what you did, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I can't feel bad for him.
Yeah, we miss you.
Do
like your music when it was fun, but yeah, you didn't have to do that.
Come on, man. The Maddie, the Mac Daddy will make you jump. That's. And
the
you
crack
clothes.
Daddy
will make
you jump.
Okay, that's.
Yeah,
that's
we going. Style. Yeah, we're out of here. That's so, I guess you were. I heard the other one. They came to the funeral carrying his casket upside down. All type of things went bad that night. So, anyway.
That's messed up.
All right, but anyway.
That's messed up.
They say they drove the car in reverse all the way. All the way. They played jump all the way there. It was cool, though. Fun times, man. They said all the old groups was there. Another Bad Creation was there.
Oh, really?
No, I'm lying. I was just saying.
Go ahead. Who we hollering at, man? Keep
that was
going.
It. I'm sorry. And we got to get to our birthdays, man. Jonah.
No, hold on. But yeah,
before
you get to the birthdays, man, I want to give a shout out to my boy Wallace Edwards, man. He's out on disability with his shoulder.
Okay.
Messing around with them
give
ladders,
it up
man. Soon. Yeah, give it up to him. And I want to send a special shout out to my grandmother, man. She wasn't feeling good this weekend. Gave us a little scare, but everything seems to be all right. So
that's what's up.
Love you, Grandma. Yeah.
That's what's up.
Big
shout out.
No clap. Go ahead.
Nothing,
yeah, man. No, go ahead.
All
go
right,
ahead.
There we go. Now for DJ's B-Days, world famous Jonah Carlita Johnson. Happy birthday. Jacqueline Harris. Happy birthday. Jakaitha Harris. That's what happened. Happy birthday. Herminia Rendon. Happy birthday to Herminia, y'all. And to my mom. She celebrated her birthday, too. So happy birthday, Ma. You know, I put my Facebook message up. That's all I'm doing. Nothing over the radio. I don't get sentimental over the radio.
But she's an avid listener. Happy birthday.
That's right. Happy
Kelly
birthday.
Rowland.
That was nice what you put on Facebook.
It was, you know. I had to read it a couple times, you know. But speaking of that, y'all, like I said, I only get sentimental when it's Kelly Rowland. But y'all go ahead. Oh, I love her.
That's a new flavor of the month.
That's always been my flavor.
Really?
I love her. Look at that. Listen, even like, there you go. I mean, the co-host here, I'm just mad she got engaged, though. That just blew me. Yeah,
what?
It happened. That's the kind of, yeah, it happened. She got engaged.
To who? Anybody we
some
know?
Some guy.
Some lucky dude.
Some lucky dude who, like, his kisses down low. Because, see, that's the name of the song.
What?
That's the name of the song,
wait.
Right? Kisses down low. Don't.
No.
Candace went full. He gets the cuss. And I don't know. He
all right.
I heard it was a Caucasian, but I hope not.
Oh,
I heard
oh,
it was
okay.
That. I heard. I really right. don't. That'll
that
hurt my heart.
I gotta Google it.
Yeah, Google that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here we go, y'all. This is the terrible truth.
This is the terrible truth with your terrible anchors, Ray and the Bomb.
Greetings and salutations. This is Ken Clark of The Terrible Truth. This portion of The Terrible Truth is brought to you by Bobby Christina's Other Brother Lover Rubbers for when your adopted brother look too damn good.
And Jason Collins Reversible Condoms. Use one side, reverse it, and let your friend get in.
This is why I need to poop all this shit. This is exactly why I need to proof these commercials.
Oh, man. See, them Jason Carter real for his presence.
Make you raise your hand.
Can we? Kent Clark, please.
Oh, this is what we do, y'all.
All right, Devon, what have you done with Kent?
He didn't see that one coming. He did not see that one coming.
Bill for Bosch's pleasure. Okay. Woo! Here we go. Woo! Okay. All right. Sorry to everybody out there in True Brotherland. I do apologize. Brazilian pastor Valdelci Sobrino Patino. Sorry. arrested for convincing followers his penis contained holy milk. Yes, sir.
No.
Yes, sir.
No. Oh. Oh, no.
Yes, sir.
Oh. Tell me.
Yes, sir.
He didn't just say that.
It's good for you.
Vitamin D.
Oh.
I'm over here
oh.
stuck.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Go ahead. Yeah, I want to hear this one.
Okay.
Look what you done did.
Valdelsi Sombrino, I'm going to just call him Pacanto. That's his name, Pacanto. We're going to call him that. Is a Brazilian pastor who has been arrested for convincing his followers that his penis contained holy milk.
Ooh.
If you're like me, you are in disbelief and total disgusted by this, but let me give you more details on this horrible situation. Pacanto told his followers that the Holy Spirit was secreted from his penis in the form of sacred milk. This pastor said that his penis was blessed and that the Lord, quote, the Lord has, I'm sorry, y'all.
Yeah.
The Lord has put the holy milk inside of him in the form of a Holy Spirit. One of Picanto's followers stated, quote, he convinced us that only God could come into our lives through our mouth.
No, he didn't. He didn't say that.
Dude, I promise you, I'm reading this story. Quote, one of his followers said, quote, he convinced us that only God could come into our lives through our mouth, and that's why he would do what he did. Often after worship, Pastor Pacanto would take us to where the funds were kept at the back of the church and ask us to have oral sex with him until the Holy Spirit would come out through ejaculation.
Oh,
tell me,
this is
dude.
Where is this Brazil?
Yes, the good news to the story is Pacanto is in jail. According to the Vatican Crimes, Pacanto said he intends to continue watering his cellmates with the sacred milk.
This can't be real.
Dude, I thought it was not real until I dug deep in. This is a true.
I feel some kind of way about this story.
Going into the terrible truth, y'all, the Facebook page. That's going there.
And with his picture, they got a picture of this dude looking back like, told you. Like toe point.
Got milk.
Mine has Jesus' name in it. Watch me
oh
tell
my
it.
God.
Yeah, that's real. That was a real story.
Let's go. Break time. What time is it?
Oh no.
It's
no
time.
No, that is yeah, just
it's
how you feel.
It's time. Go home.
Yeah.
No, we got 2 minutes.
Come home and say, hey, I think it's time for some pastors.
Do you really still think it's wrong to question you?
Your
religious leader, hey,
dude,
you better.
How do you convince that? Look, first you got the dude who put the sacred cloth over these dudes and humped their back.
Humped them.
To say,
humped
hey, you know what?
Into the dirt. he humped them into the dirt
and said, "We got to get all this Bosch and Collins out you. This is the best way to do it." Now this dude is going around shooting his milk at these people, and they like, yeah, you know what? How would you feel being a man and your woman walks in
as you got a milk mustache talking about, hey, honey.
Yeah, nah, this is just a little Jesus. Jesus.
Okay. We here at the True Brothers do apologize for any inappropriate remarks that were made and will be made during this broadcast.
She
there you go.
She be listening?
There you go.
Kind of loud, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, you know what?
Yeah.
I keep forgetting these are terrible truths. But sorry, y'all. We got to take a real quick break. We'll be right back after these short messages. True Brothers Radio.
True Brothers Radio.
If you ask me, Trey Songz is the best singer in the world.
Girl, have you heard Chris Brown?
Thank you. Okay, whatever. All he talk about is strippers, money, slapping girls, and Lamborghinis.
But he talk about sexual activities.
Okay, but who look better?
Chris Brown.
Whatever.
No. What about Justin Bieber?
He's gay.
Exactly.
That's not right, girls.
Wow, it's the mom from Truth Brothers Radio.
My mom hates him.
That's right. And using words like gay to insult someone is socially wrong and offensive. Use words like poopy, skittle bag, wrist down, lady boys, fairies, sweetness, drag queens, switch hitters, ass burglars, white beards, something like that.
Thanks, Devon. Now we know.
And no one will keep y'all asses out the liquor store. Two fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Yo. Hey, yo, my silent moments, loud as the crack of thunder. My hunger like the crocodile that attacks a hunter. It ain't commercial or underground, it's true. Call a skill, call a game, call a glow, call my name. Like the law, all the veins, screaming like you want to change. Treat it like a drug, all up in your veins. Yeah. We make the square dance.
Truth Brothers Radio, we're back, y'all. And finishing up our terrible truth, well, you know, I just finished the story about the pastor who likes the stuff. That's it. I'm not going to keep it going. I know we got underage listeners.
And our second hour topic, we're going to be talking about the school closings. Definitely. And what's going on in school systems all around, private, this private for profit versus public. We're going to get into all of that with our very special guest who's not here right now.
At all.
We promise. Yeah, so
Okay.
We can't dig into my story, so keep it moving.
Darketta Brooks, alleged hooker, maced boy, then stole his piggy bank.
Makes boy?
Maced him, yeah.
Oh, maced. Right. Oh, I thought you said makes boy. Yeah. That's a prostitute term. Like,
Exactly. Yeah, according to Cook County Sheriff's Office, a 14-year-old boy used his iPad to contact Brooks after he logged onto a website known for listing pay-for-sex advertisements.
I know what it is.
There you go, Craig. Brooks reportedly agreed to the boy's invitation and arranged to meet him at his home while his parents was away.
Of course.
Yeah. When Brooks arrived at the boy's home to carry out the encounter, she told him to go into the bedroom and take off his pants.
It's happy time. Go ahead.
When while the teen was sitting on the bed, Brooks maced him, fled the scene with his iPad, piggy bank, and an undisclosed amount of cash.
I said, thanks for not snitching.
Sucker.
My God.
Investigators then say the teen immediately called the police, then gave them a description of Brooks and the vehicle she left in. Police were able to locate Brooks at a local hotel after she turned on the boy's iPad.
GPS.
There you go. She was apprehended at the scene when police found the stolen items in her possession. She was booked into jail and charged with armed robbery. Her bond has been set at $10,000.
How she look?
She looks like a skank.
Let me see that. Oh, red hair?
Ratchetness.
No, that's pink.
Oh, well, you know,
that's clown pink.
Sometimes 14-year-old boys are into the Nicki Minaj look.
Sometimes. Yeah, well, he was just looking. I think he saw, was that Risky Business and got inspired?
What?
Yeah, you never seen Risky Business?
No.
Sorry. No. Yeah, that was. Yeah, that's what he did in Risky Business.
He hired a hooker?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, either way.
What's wrong with that, though? You know,
kid.
Little boys trying to get
some game, son. Don't.
What? He can't get. No. Don't, wait, okay. Don't, everybody don't. Looks at Devon when he says something
clarify.
Like that.
Clarify. Help me
understand. The little
it.
Boy probably didn't have what Ray, what we said was game. So he tried to buy his way into manhood. That's all. I mean, I don't condone it. That you should have had two coins dropping because I'm sure it wasn't that much. Should have been like a half dollar.
Dude,
the
when
floor.
She took his piggy bank, and the poor boy had a piggy bank.
That's I gotta let you know.
An actual pig.
Yep.
And she broke it and got all the tokens.
Why do you keep your Odyssey Fun World tokens in there, boy?
This cool Chuck.
You know what's probably bogus? You know what's probably wrong? Is she probably didn't mace him till she had everything in her possession. Like,
exactly.
Like, You're so like stupid. That,
like, close your,
back.
Close your eyes. Here I come. Give me that.
Wait, did she actually do it, or did she make them?
No, she made. He was standing, sitting there on the bed, naked. She.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I don't. Yeah, let's go. It's full Flintstone. Look,
right.
But okay.
Well, she had to do it that way because she couldn't have sex with him and then steal his stuff because
actually,
then
she probably would have been easier. She would have. She would have put
right.
him to sleep.
Not
she'd have
really.
Put him to sleep.
Was statutory?
Yes.
Oh yeah, she'd have got hit with statutory. But then again, when you a hooker, do
right.
you care?
Do you care?
Yeah.
Really?
When you're a hooker,
she's gonna take his stuff. She went to his crib. If she went to his crib, had sex with him, stole his stuff,
uh-huh.
the kid's gonna tell everything.
Like
she
I called, like he did, saying I called her for sex, and she took
he's
my
kid.
iPad.
Like
I bet the cops were just laughing.
Yeah, I bet he showed up. He didn't have enough nerve to put his pants back on. Like, y'all ain't
right.
gonna believe this, crying and pointing. Like, see,
I was robbed. Calm down, son.
Got the mush mouth going on. Can't get his
yeah.
words out.
And then. Whatever. I really don't. I kind of don't feel bad for the boy.
I kind of don't. Welcome to the world, son. You,
I kind of
You picked
don't.
A hard way to find out about life.
And some women.
Because,
yeah, you lucky. That's just your piggy bank. It's good to something else. That's him?
That's him. When she makes him.
14.
I think everybody sounds like that.
Shut up, kid.
Right.
That's the whole routine.
All right.
Yeah, you could have played
the whole
stuck.
Crime. Right.
Candy. It's your world.
This one is actually pretty pretty doggone funny. Okay, a woman is arrested for an April Fool's joke that went totally wrong. A Tennessee woman was arrested by police after she tricked her sister into thinking she had killed her husband.
You big dummy.
For real. I was doing an April Fool's joke. Susan Tammy Hudson, 52, told WKBC.
Yep, that sounds like Trailer Park.
I was just about to say
that.
That
sounds just
that
like
sounds
Trailer
like,
Park.
Come on, we got to move the house. The tornado's coming. That's what that
Get
sounds
it,
like.
Hook it up to the Ram truck and let's go.
Yep. Nah, hit the button that say 4x4 and let's get out of here. Let's get out of here.
The 4x4. Hit the 4x4 button.
Hit the 16 so we can get out of here. It's that time. They got one of them whirly wins.
My story.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Now I got to start over. Whew. A Tennessee woman was arrested by police after she tricked her sister into thinking she had killed her husband. I was doing an April Fool's joke. Susan Tammy Hudson, 52, told WKPT Channel 19. I said, Helen, I shot my husband. I'm cleaning up the mess. Let's go bury him in Blackwater.
Ooh,
that's where the black swim.
But the joke
that's
backfired.
Where the dark swim.
But the joke backfired when another relative ended up calling the local Kingsport Police Department. Officers arrived at Miss Hudson's home and took her into custody, according to Times News. She was later released without charge and had nothing but praise for the local police. The response was excellent, she told reporters.
Yep, it was like a SWAT team
Who
came
would
in.
Who have a joke there? Like that?
Oh, I would have. I do. I mean,
I
see,
killed my wife. Come help me hide the body.
It's a couple of things that I'm about to say that might confuse y'all. One, I pray practical jokes like that all the time. So, one, they wouldn't have believed me if I said it. That's just, no matter who I told. That's the problem with me. Like, when I'm serious, nobody, you got a flat. You just fell off the bridge. I don't believe you. I could be in water and people wouldn't believe me. That's one. Because I have a warped, weird sense of humor. So, yeah, I would do a joke like that.
I got you. Okay.
You wouldn't?
Sure. Me, myself?
Yeah.
No, because people, if I tell you I killed somebody, people would tend to believe me.
And
so,
yeah.
No, thank you.
And I'd have to send, they'd send a bunch of people over here for you.
Yeah.
They'd send, this is what we've been waiting on.
Devon, I got him. I'm going to teach him a thing or two. I'm going to kill him. Come on. Help me hide the body. I'm running out of bullets.
It'd be like when they was coming to get Shrek and they just came. You'd be like the older and everybody comes with their burning steaks and all the pitchforks. Would be a good day for you.
No.
But before we get into my next story, can I ask y'all a question? Did y'all remember dude Antoine Dobson, right? Everybody
Here we
remember
go.
Dude, right?
Yes, I know what you're gonna say.
Did y'all hear about my man say I'm straight now?
Yes.
Chris, Jason Collins turns gay and he
turns
straight.
No. I still firmly believe.
I came looking for man's butt.
I believe that's what he's on.
Yeah, he's been there.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
I came looking for man's butt.
Yeah, that's what he's on.
Hey,
he told you that. You going?
Well, I don't know. He might not have
going to the gym with him.
Oh no. I don't take showers with Anton. We ain't leaving LA Fitness.
Right.
And he comes up, hey, Devon, good show, and slapping me raw. Nah, bro, I ain't doing that. We not playing that game. I know what you like. You came in here.
You've seen that. You've seen Antoine.
That's
what do you think?
He talking about, oh, no, I found new religion. Therefore,
well,
they
maybe,
told me.
I mean, that's possible.
Really?
No.
What was his motivation for not, for coming out?
To be relevant again? To say something that just would
say
get
something
him
to be
back
relevant.
The same day he took his thong off and said, I'm not gay no more. I'm putting these thongs on.
Them Halloween costumes ain't selling no more.
There you go.
Just realized the two white boys made all the money off the song.
Yeah.
It's hitting him now. All the endorsements have dried up. I need a new gimmick. Oh, I know. I'm straight. Don't think so.
Yeah. I guess.
You're going to catch him in a shirt for thugs real soon.
Yeah.
Shorts for thugs. This ain't no mini skirt. See, this just has the inside. Homo.
Hey.
I didn't say nothing bad. I didn't say anything bad. You know what? We got people here, and I don't think I should be reading all my stories now. But whatever.
No, it's all good. We got a little, I don't believe I don't personally believe he's straight. He ain't, that leopard ain't changing nothing.
See,
them spots
my thing
is gonna stay the same.
He got to stop shop. It's a couple things that'll probably make me believe he's not gay. One, you can't keep going into Lady Dots buying your clothes. If you stop doing that, I'll probably roll with you. Stop buying your underwear from Vicky's Secret. That's the other thing I believe you. Stop buying bras altogether. I'd believe he wasn't gay if he did that. Those are just a few things I'd like to do.
There you go.
So,
on that note, we'll go ahead and do another break. We'll be back. There you go. Truth Brothers Radio.
It's been a long time.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Follow procedures. The crowd couldn't wait to see this. Nobody's been this long awaited since Jesus. Who wouldn't believe this? I heard the word on the street is I'm still one of the deepest on the mic since Adidas. They said I changed the times from the rhymes that I thought of. So I made some order, put the new world in order with mathematics. Put your status above the average and help you rappers make paragraphs with graphics. From school days is dawning, new ways of performing.
What's good? This is one half of the award-winning Truth Brothers Radio, Devon. Telling y'all to tune in every Monday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, to Truth Brothers Radio for the latest in news, current events, politics, controversial topics, and our infamous terrible truth. To keep up with the latest of what the Truth Brothers have going on, friend or follow us on any of the major social media networks, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, or catch any of our past shows anytime at blogtalkradio.com/truthbrothers. Thank you for all the love and support. Catch y'all next Monday. Two fingers.
True Brothers Radio. Truth Brothers Radio, and we're back. And I'm going to go ahead and jump into my story real quick. A Japanese woman, 77, was paid millions for sex. So, yep, there's still hope out there.
I'm going to keep the joke to myself, man. I'm going to stop. I'm
going to go ahead. No, hey. A 77-year-old woman who received $3.9 million from a 79-year-old man in exchange for sexual and romantic favors has been ordered to repay the cash in a Japanese court. The woman succeeded in getting around 400 million yen out of the man over a seven-year period. And she didn't even have to say Jesus was in her stuff. And what he said was what he thought was loans. She used the money to buy luxury cars, a condominium, and she has no ability nor intentions on repaying the debts, said the court in Central Japan. The court heard how the woman, who wasn't named, was called an amorous, Japanese term meaning like a gold digger. I can't say the word, to persuade him to part with the cash, including stripping naked in hotels and asking him to bathe her. Ugh. He paid to bathe her.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. I don't know. The elderly couple began dating in June 2000, and the woman repeatedly asked for money, and what she said was to pay off her debts to another man who otherwise she'd have to marry. And that worked. I need this money, or I'm going to have to marry Bill. Yeah.
How old was she?
She was 77.
Okay.
The man, whose identity was not revealed, sold the land he had inherited and took out loans to meet her demand. She also used the money to buy top-end cars, including a Jaguar, BMW, and Mercedes, as well as a luxury flat. If the woman fails to comply with the civil court ruling, the man will have to take further efforts to compel her. Sounds like she's not paying it back.
Then again, can you blame her?
No, I
reminds you of Anna Nicole Smith situation.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, but at 77, she's doing something better than Anna.
I don't know. Then again,
he was 79, and
right,
she said,
that's what I was like,
pay me to wash my back. And he said, how much?
Winning.
Yeah, that's winning.
Or yinning.
Yeah.
They say, like,
yeah.
They are getting all the yin together. Like,
yeah.
Yikes.
Hey.
I can't even be mad at that.
Hey, she was, hey, would you like to paint my toenails? How much would that be? She's like, simple.
$1 million.
And he was like, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Who do I make it out the yen?
I don't. If you was the court, would you make her pay that money back?
See?
No.
Yeah. I'm like, no.
My thing is,
I looked at the dude been like,
it was a loan. I mean, she already owed somebody else money. That's the whole reason why she was.
She said that she had to pay some dude some money or she would have to marry him. And the 79-year-old said, no, we can't have that. How much?
Okay.
Because there's nothing like seeing your wrinkled body in the moonlight.
Was she going to get the money back?
She wasn't. She didn't intend on it.
Exactly. So how did he assume it was a loan?
She said, I need this Jaguar or else I'm going to have to marry Biff.
Biff.
And he's, no, everything was Biff.
What does she look like?
I don't know. There's no
77.
Picture.
But
right.
I've seen some 77-year-old black women who look nice.
Like, no joke. Like, what, you, Tina Turner look nice to you?
No. But see, that's not
She's
the
70.
Point.
I'm just
right,
saying.
No, it was this one girl, one old lady that was on what show? One of these Dr. Oz type shows, and she was in her 70s. And she looked like, she looked like she was in her 40s. No joke. Now can you deny that?
Yep.
You can turn that down.
I mean, it's rare. You only saw certain parts of it.
There you go.
No, she had to. No, here's the thing. She had the workout gear on.
That workout gear was holding stuff to get right.
It's got pockets.
Right.
Oh, you talking about under the spandex?
Yeah. There's spandex is designed to hold stuff together.
So you said a lot of electric blue hairs around.
Yeah. Now you feeling it's a farce.
Oh, I got you. I got you, Zilla.
Yeah.
That ain't all junk.
No.
That's diaper. I got you. I see where you at. It hurts to laugh because I tickle a tad. I got you.
Right. Oh, Devon, you're so funny. oh, can you help change me?
How much?
We're going to switch gears here because I'm kind of getting a little grossed out here. Jailed gang leader, I think you guys heard the story. Jailed gang leader allegedly fathers five kids with four prison guards.
Yeah. Winning. He's out of BC.
Yeah?
Out of BC. He's winning. He's not raping a kid in jail. He's getting prison guard.
Yeah.
He's winning.
How can you turn down?
Hey.
If you're in jail and all you got to your left is the dude, the evangelist, who likes to put the milk in your people.
There you go.
And another guy who likes to do this. And you got.
Or you got the prison guard. Right. Bertha.
Like, yeah.
You
oh, Bertha's going to win.
Five kids with four
cars. How long
he's in prison? Right. What has he got better to do?
Right. I'm not.
What does he
got
better
it?
To do?
Yeah, but
yeah, exactly.
Let's see. You need to lift weights or get some.
There's a 150-pound new dude. I can pound him, or I can pound the prison guard.
Let's
I'm with the
happens.
Prison guard.
Okay, yeah. Looking at us like we wrong.
Yeah.
No.
Little bit.
If
no.
you was in
no.
jail.
If I'm in
if
jail.
You're, hold on. Let's ask the lady here, because I would love to hear this. You in jail, right?
Right.
Nothing around you but meows and cat sandwiches, right? Yeah, and all you hear in your next cell is, oh, daddy, finish your plate. Like, that's all you that's
right.
all you hearing in the
right.
next in the next cell.
And
then
here
comes
Ben.
Nah. Here comes looking like Morris Chestnut.
No, we can't give a look. No, he's got to, here comes Ben. Roughed up, beat up Ben, but
Scruffy.
Scruffy. Ben is all you got. But you can have Ben or you can.
But no, see, he had four different guards. So I'm okay. You don't get my point.
Okay.
So we kick it off with Morris, right? Young Morris comes through and he said, "Hey, Candace,
looking pretty nice.
You looking nice today. Love the stripes. All right, keeps it moving, right?
Right. He goes up into the thing, looks up what you did. Oh, shoplifting. Just a work.
And then he comes back like, you know what? You need time in the yard."
Yeah.
Now he put
you on kitchen detail.
There you go. And Morris is in there. Oh, I like the way you chop them vegetables, Candace. Let me help you out. Do you let Morris finish the job?
Or do you go back to put your hand in my pocket?
Finish your plate, Candace. Do you go back?
I don't think I could do it.
Yeah.
Really? With Morris?
I would be too scared that I would get more time if we got caught.
You don't get more time for getting caught, you just there.
No, because if he's doing me, he's doing somebody else. No.
And so
is
Bertha. The average guy. The
right.
average
so
guy down the street who says, hey.
Message. I'm not average. I got you.
I mean,
but Bertha is got you and everybody else in the yard, and you brand new, and she's like, I can't let you get away.
Yep.
Give me your sandwich. Eat your sandwich. Give it to me.
I give it to her after I
uh-huh.
I tell you on break what I really want to say.
Oh, now she put it.
Yeah.
I put it like this. She, no, nobody else want no damn sandwich from me at all.
Oh,
no reason
well, yeah.
whatsoever. I don't want to be, leave me alone. They will leave me alone. Bertha.
That's what they going to do.
Yes.
They ain't going
go
to.
Yes.
All
you
nine
gonna,
of these girls. She's going
to go John Claude on them.
That's what they going to do?
Yeah. Remember when keeping it real goes wrong.
So you mean to tell me you going to take all nine of them out?
Because they ain't going to do you one by one. This ain't the movie.
Yeah, they don't quote you one
go,
at a time.
I'm going to
they
make it totally
rush
unappealing. Well, they, totally
they
unappealing.
They don't care.
They going to shower you, girl.
They're going to drag you into the shower and clean you up real nice.
For it, but anyway.
Oh,
anyway, we let's
yeah,
right. on.
Go ahead.
I'm going to actually read this.
I don't blame dude. Let me go on record by saying that. I'm sorry. I don't. I'm going to go
yeah,
on
I'm
record.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
Really? All right. 13 female correctional officers, 7 inmates, and 5 others with gang ties have been charged with plotting to smuggle drugs, cell phones, and other contraband into Baltimore's jail and other correctional facilities, federal prosecutors announced on Tuesday. The ring involved sex between inmates and guards that led four of the officers becoming pregnant, one of them twice by Tavon White.
Tavon.
That's my cousin. Yes.
Don't clap for that.
I got around.
round of applause. By Tavon White, a leader of a gang called the Black Gorilla Family.
You never heard of the Black Gorilla Family? Oh, that goes way back.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That goes way. You never heard of the Black Gorilla Family?
No.
Yeah. They go way back.
The Black Gorilla
Family.
They're about as old as the Panthers, seriously. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Stay in Black history. Love it. The indictment unsealed Tuesday said that White, who is being held at the Baltimore Detention Center awaiting trial on a charge of attempted murder, once boasted in a wiretap phone call, "This is my jail. I make every final call in this jail," end quote. In at least one case, a corrections officer stood guard outside a closet at the jail so a corrections officer and an inmate could have sex, prosecutor said in court documents. Some of the female officers even tattooed White's name on their bodies, according to
Wait, hold up. I heard if you go to jail and you get into religion, they don't touch you.
That's what I said, right?
Wow.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Guess he is running it.
Yeah, he got ladies tattooing, and I'm sure they were prison tats, too. Straight hot needle.
On your shift. And they went home to their husband sore.
That's
wow.
FBI agent Stephen Vogt said White, quote unquote, effectively raised the BGF flag over the Baltimore City Detention Center.
A flag.
The Black Gorilla flag.
Yeah. Winning. You know what? I kind of won't end on his life.
Really?
Hey,
Wow.
I didn't know you had that type of pull down there in Baltimore.
I'm running this jail, and I guess he had put my take that American flag down off this prison and
but
put his King Kong flag up.
Now, check this out. The indictment claims that the gang ran the scheme from inside the detention center and charges gang members and corrections officers with conspiracy, drug possession, and distribution, and money laundering.
Wow.
So, like I said.
Wow. Let me ask you this. Do you think it's a good idea to let females guard males in prison?
No.
If you look like
Susan Boyle.
Nah, you got to be worse.
I know who's coming.
Mountain Girl.
I know who's coming.
If you as tall as Lisa Leslie and got a body like Precious,
I knew you
good.
Was going to do that.
I knew Precious was going to catch you.
Whatever.
Get off of Gabby. Stop it.
Get off. I was going to go there. I tried. I rolled over twice and I was still on her. Up top. Anyway, but.
I'm done with you.
Whatever. Flabby can go by
come
her
on,
business.
Really?
Whatever. Inadequate. Inadequate.
We here at the Truth Brothers do apologize for the inappropriate comments that were. But damn it. Sorry.
We good? No, it's cool. We talk during the break and when we get silent. This is what we do. True Brothers Radio. I'm not leaving her alone. Let's just go there.
Right.
Secondly, that's the only way would you want your daughter working at a male prison?
No, I wouldn't.
Absolutely
I wouldn't.
Not.
And would you want your wife working at a male prison?
No. And I stepped it down a tad to say my daughter. Like, I mean, I don't want my wife working, but my, nah.
No,
because one of them prison riots break out. Do you really expect her to get in there? Boy, stop all
calm
this nonsense.
Calm this down.
Right.
Yeah. No.
Oh, no, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't.
They gonna
if I did, I wouldn't.
I'd be seeing up my girl.
Right.
Nope.
You can't go in there and protect her.
Right, because you at work at your regular job, and here she is at the maximum security. Getting hemmed up by Ada Beast.
All of 115 pounds.
Right. Nope.
Looking up like,
I tried to fight, but I just got a raise. Nope.
She can run the office. She can be in the office.
The woman's prison girl?
No.
Really?
That's not. I'm for fear of my daughter. My daughter could work in the office.
I understand,
but she could not be on the yard. No, I refuse to.
No.
So dudes walking, you got, look here.
Did you see
dudes in jail?
Did you see
who would just grab their junk in front of her?
818-514-1202.
There you go.
Anybody out there who's listening and not watching the Bulls game tonight that
did
would like
you,
to comment on this?
Did you see Oz? That's all I got to say.
Yes, I saw.
They raped the nun in Oz. They raped the doctor in Oz.
Yep.
They got the prison guard in. Well, the prison
guard
got
them. Remember the girl who was on death row?
Yes.
The dude got into her.
Yes.
Popped her up with what she called a devil baby.
There you go.
Yep.
No way. No way.
Not happening.
No way.
My daughter could work up there with the warden. She could be his secretary. That's his new.
I wouldn't even want that. Don't go
nowhere near the prison. The only reason I'm saying that is my daughter, if she had, this the only place they hiring. You got to be. You can work in the office. That's it. You can't do nothing else. I'm sorry.
But I mean, that's the only place. I mean, if she's putting out a ton of applications and she gets called for that, if that's the
if she gets called to work in the yard.
Well, if she gets a call to do that sort of job.
To be no, you can't take that.
No.
That's like they hiring you to work at City Sports and the
daughter,
dudes with the brown beards is there.
Your daughter is 24, 25 years old
uh-huh.
and gets that job,
uh-huh.
she's going to take that job.
I'm going to tell her you can't.
You're not going to tell a 25-year-old daughter or not.
Yeah.
All due respect, Dad.
Yeah, I got
daughter
you.
Or not, I need some money.
Okay,
you
and I'm going to tell you why.
You subsidize her whole?
No, absolutely not. But I'm going to tell her why you cannot, because I refuse to come up there, Daddy, I've been shanked. I'm not doing that. I know it's going to happen. It's my job as the parent to protect her. She got a job. Like, my daughter could get a job. If my daughter had a job working for these dudes that run these clothing /shoe stores, you can't take that. You can't take that because they're exposing you.
Yeah.
They're using your look to push their product out there.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be known as the city sport jump off.
Don't mean to be mean or stereotypical, but I wouldn't want my daughter working in Baba's or around all the foreign dudes. No, don't think so.
With the slick hair.
Don't think so. They don't have. They don't generally have respect for you as it is.
Exactly.
And then your daughter is up in there taking orders for them. And nope.
And they get grabby behind.
Right.
No.
Right. I mean, they don't respect they women.
I get what you guys are saying. I follow what you guys are saying. But the facts still remain. She's young. She's out here on her own. She's fill out applications. She already knows what's going to be ahead of her. She knows. She's got a general sense just like you guys do.
Right.
But she needs health care. She's got kids. She's got to get these bills paid. So she may empathize and understand what you're saying, but when it comes down to what it is, the only thing that you can really do is gear her up enough to so she can be as conscientious about her surroundings as possible.
That's right.
In
real life, you can't tell a 25-year-old woman
right.
who's living on her own what to do.
But
that's
honest.
The father in you that just say, no.
No, and I get
that's
that.
That's
that father.
My job would be
my daddy
to
would probably
her
say the same
not
thing.
Not to take it. That would be my job.
Yeah, I'm with him on that.
Sure,
I would do my best to convince her not to take it.
But just, you know.
I'm going to be honest with you. If she takes that job and something happens to her, I'm going to feel like it's my fault. Even if I told her not to take it, it's going to feel like I should have done more to keep her from getting that job because me being the elder, me knowing more, I knew what was going to happen for her.
You may want to do that, and as a father, I get that. But once you give your children life and you train them up the way they're supposed to go, I mean, you have to trust that everything that you put in them.
Okay.
It's no different from your kid going away to college. There's a bunch of different.
It's slightly different. Slightly.
Slightly,
Because
yes,
I don't.
But no.
I don't.
Yes, only because one is an occupation, the other one is a damn free for all.
No, one is just dangerous.
It's a free for all.
One, prison is dangerous. Prison ain't college.
That's the reason.
College
that's
is dangerous too.
Yeah, but
I
not by.
If we had to. If we had to. If I had the prison scale or the college scale, I'd be more comfortable with her going to college in her dorm room.
Yeah.
With other
she wanted to be a security guard at the college. That's better than the prison.
Oh, I'm not even.
That's
of course it is, but I'm saying as far as
I ain't got to worry about some
adult,
dude who's got 17 years for raping, looking at my daughter in college. That's what I'm saying. Now could. There be a young rapist on the upcoming?
Yes, absolutely.
Could there be a young rapist looking to make his name, make a name for himself out
Johnny
here?
Johnny Creep, yes.
Absolutely.
Johnny Creep.
They're going to be lurking all around,
but,
everywhere you go.
That's like, but okay. Now we're saying giving them career choices and having them take what they wanted to do. If your daughter says, "Look, I have a beautiful body. I want to go into stripping. Would you let her do it?" She's 24. She can make her own decision. And whether you say you're not going to do it or not, whatever choice you say, she's going to do it regardless.
Like you said earlier, it will be my job. I would not want her to do it as a mother. You know, of course not. But I have to also understand she's 24 years old. It's not much I can do to stop her from doing it. The only thing I can do is let her know the other side of that coin.
Right.
Yeah, you might make a lot of money here, but the potential of you getting raped, you getting a sexually transmitted disease,
mm-hmm.
you getting robbed, you being followed, all these things
never
come along with.
Never working a legitimate job again. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. All these come along with that lifestyle. So as long as you're making a cognizant decision that's what you want to do,
right.
then, you know, I'm not condoning it, but just make sure that you take all the steps to make sure that, you know, you protect yourself as much as humanly possible. That's all you can really do as a parent.
I feel you.
Because if you command or demand, kids get more rebellious. Well, I'll show you I'm grown. Everybody had that 18 syndrome. The moment you turn 18, you can't tell me nothing.
Mine was 15. Yeah, I started early.
Bad seed.
Mine was 15. I knew everything.
But you know what? Quiet is kept.
Yeah, it's about 15.
About quiet is kept.
Yeah, here you go.
Probably me too.
Yeah, it's about 15 when that kicks in. 18, you've already.
I was too smart for my own good.
Yeah.
But
I call most teenagers are.
No, you have no idea.
I call everybody dumb. Like I call everybody dumb. Like that's the dumbest. I used to jump to the. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Every day was that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, you know,
yeah.
Strippers. We
what?
Need them. You do need them.
Oh,
you
the twerking. The twerking show is coming.
Oh yeah.
Twerking show is coming.
We're doing it. Yeah, we're doing the show for the twerk fanatics out there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, we're not. We're not
advocating.
Hey, yeah, do what you do.
Did we talk about this?
No, we're not.
Oh,
we're not
okay.
condoning. Oh my God, look at it. It's just so lovely and hypnotizing. No,
it's,
I don't.
No,
it's beyond me. It's just become this phenomenon.
Yeah,
we were just talking about that. It's just. I got a slight problem with it. I don't care what you want to do as an adult. And there's a lady out there who's got a bunch of YouTube clips. Called twerking by the batteries and by the this and the that. And it's very surreal and strange. Got it. And I think she's like a wannabe comedian. I think. Because I think she's trying to have a comedic spirit with it. I think.
Yeah, whatever.
But
no, she's
at the same
time.
Right. But at the same time, kids are seeing her gimmick because there's another one called twerking by the gas station with a bunch of little kids doing this at a gas station. And
at
it's
night.
Not.
And it's
pretty
not cute
at all. It's not cute at all.
Yeah, it's getting ridiculous.
And every adult seems to feel these days that I can go out here and I can do something, but I'm not responsible for what people see and want to emulate.
I think for the most part, though, with that, they feel like it was like back in the day. I'm an adult. I can do this. You can't. But nobody pushes that issue no more. It's fit freedom for everybody.
Yeah.
Like if I say, you know what, I could do this, and if she see it, then okay, well, I guess she must be able to do it. I don't want to say back in the day, but I remember a time where I couldn't watch Eddie Murphy Raw because my mom said, y'all can't watch this,
yeah,
but we can.
For y'all, right.
Right. So
right.
That's
Richard Pryor records for some of the older gentlemen.
Right.
You couldn't hear, you would sneak and listen to Richard Pryor records. Right. And you think you're doing something, but you knew it wasn't for you, and you knew you wouldn't go around. You wouldn't go around repeating it,
right? To your parents,
right?
You'd go
to
the yard,
right?
With your boys, and say, "Oh man, I saw you."
Oh boy,
arachnophobia. Anyway, our guest is here, a True Brothers Radio. Our guest just came in, and it looked it dangerous. And I said, looked it.
You sure
you
did.
Said that with a school principal in here. Yeah.
I did. So, I love live radio. Don't y'all love live radio? But, no, to get back to what we were talking about, I forgot that fast.
Oh, we did. Twerking bottom.
Yeah, twerking bottom. But, yeah, I mean, it was a point where, you know, the parents said, okay, this is for me and whatever. And to a point where you used to be like, I can't wait till I get older so I can do these things. Now everybody's like, I don't even have to get older. I can do
right.
it at 11.
The
right.
problem is that the vehicle to get these images out is just so easy to access. You got Facebook. You got all these, you know, YouTube. Mm-hmm. You got all these things as a conduit to put this stuff out here. And, you know, I'm totally against big media. You know, I got something to say about it every week.
Question. Yeah. Let me ask you a question real quick, both of y'all. Everybody, really.
Okay.
Do you feel like technology hurts us more than it helps us?
I think all technology is a double-edged sword.
Yes.
Everything has a positive and negative effect to it. And it depends on the person and how you use it. I mean, what you just said about YouTube is I get what you're saying, but I love YouTube. And YouTube, you can get a lot of knowledgeable stuff off of YouTube.
True.
And at the same time, you can get twerking by the batteries. But I like that type of freedom.
I'm going to give you guys a scenario. I'm going to say yes. And scenario comes based off just incident that happened last week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I was in high school, I was awesome at algebra.
Right.
Awesome at it. Now, my daughter is taking algebra. They have to have this specific calculator. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they don't know how to break down algebraic equations like
right.
we used to.
Yeah.
If they don't
on
have
paper.
That calculator,
yeah.
if they don't have that calculator, they don't know what to do. So I'm basically teaching her prehistoric, you know, ways. I used to do it. She's like, what?
What's this?
Huh?
Why are you carrying that
She told
that
me
one?
To press the T3 with the X on that.
You're stupid, Mom. This is how.
But my
you just
point
push
is.
Push these buttons and here's the end. Why did you do all that writing?
But see, that's my point. My point is kids don't get the concept of what it means to actually break it down
mm-hmm.
and understand the formula if they don't have this calculator where you're pushing in all the buttons to give you an answer.
Learning them up to run
it's
the
like coming
register.
In the classroom, you have a math test and all the answers are all across the board. What?
Yeah. They're preparing you to run that cash register. That's what it is.
Another scenario. Bolingbrook. Last year. What's up, JC? Last year. Go see my buddy. Okay?
Right.
I go to McDonald's. Late at night. Make my order. Never forget. My order was like $5.52.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, he called it out. And his computer stopped working.
Yep.
And
boy, oh yeah. boy. The rest
what
is
I
going to
do? Oh, my. I'm like, you owe me $4.48.
No, you're trying to short my drawer.
I'm sitting here like,
I'm
oh, my God.
He didn't just say reach in here and get what he's supposed to get.
Because he was scared of his drawer being short.
I'm sitting here for the longest. You know, I was, you know, vibing off a song.
Ooh,
I was listening to. I'm just like, I'm just sitting here 5 minutes. I ain't got my change yet. Wait a minute.
Steve
right.
coming
and
out his head.
Confused, dude. I'm like, you owe me $4.48. Oh, okay.
Oh, he wasn't of this color?
Then he was.
Here you go.
Okay, I just
all right.
So I was like, can you get your manager for me? Okay, and I guess the guy was, you know, either in the bathroom, smoke break, something. He wasn't around. So I end up sitting in this doggone drive-thru for 15 minutes because now they got to count the drawer down.
Yep.
I'm like, you all sell 1,000,000 number sevens a day.
Yep.
$5.52. I gave you a $10 bill. You give me $4.48 and I could be on my way. That's it, but, you know, it's so I said all that to say that in certain instances, I do believe, though, technology in a lot of sense does make things a lot more efficient, faster, but it can also be a hindrance because we become so codependent on it.
True, indeed.
You know, that we lose the basics.
Got it.
And all
right.
That's all I have to say about that.
And on that note, we're going to go ahead and get on out. We're going to get into the second hour. We're going to get into the school closings with our Rashawn Patterson, our principal and educator. Y'all going to enjoy this one, so we're going to make it happen. Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Tyler Perry, the man who brought you Jesus Is, presents Mama Saw Jesus in the Toaster, the new hit stage play everyone's talking about at the new old rebuilt Regal Theater next to the Currency Exchange down the street from 3/5 Bank, the bank for color. It's the story of how one woman got up to make toast and found Jesus.
Oh! Oh, my God. Jesus, is that you in there?
You'll laugh. You'll cry. You'll bring butter. Jet Magazine says, this some bull here. King Magazine says, I've never seen so many big asses in my life. And The Final Call says, it's cooning at its best. Starring Loretta Devine as Mama.
Mr. Don, somebody almost ran up with all of my stuff.
Also, Conscious Vaughn from the Parkers. You know him as Waldo. Sean Harrison from Family Matters. R&B sensation Howard Jewett as the light-skinned singer. Delicious from Flavor of Love. Wendy Williams as Bitter Mama.
How you doing?
It's a man, baby.
And in a triumphant return to the stage, Cisco as the Dragon Chaser.
I came looking for man's butt.
And as Jesus. Bullethead from the Steve Harvey Show. That's Mama Saw Jesus in the Toaster at the new old rebuilt Regal Theater, sponsored by 3/5 Bank, the bank for color. Get your tickets now. Bring the whole family.
Man, I saw this 4 times. I still don't get it. Who the hell is Sean Harrison?
A Shelly Perry production.
Praise Jesus in tweet right.
Truth Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the second hour of Truth Brothers. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we are the Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-1202. That's 818-514-1202.
And as always, you guys know you can leave us an email at wewanttruth@att.net. And truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
And we have the blog talk chat room live and going on for your questions and comments.
There you go. And we're going to go ahead and jump into our second hour topic now of all these school closings in Chicago and what does it mean and what is the effect it's going to have on kids. And we got a very special guest here, and I flubbed his name back in the first hour, and I'm very sorry about that. But he is our principal and educator, Rashawn Franklin. Welcome to the show, bruh.
There you go. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, real Barry White on us.
Yeah, he did. He got real smooth.
Yeah.
Got a little rum and coke in his glass.
I don't always drink beer.
There you
go. That's what a joke.
Nah, thanks for joining us tonight, man. Appreciate that.
Yeah, so, you know what? Let's just kind of jump into the meat of the thing right away, and I want to get your impressions on closing 54 schools. The impact that's got to have on the city has got to be enormous, and these are like the largest school closings in the history of America, and that's just it. I want your opinion on that. Just tell me what you think as a experienced educator, and is it a good idea, bad idea? Can they pull it off? Will it work or what?
I think the thing you really have to understand is that, as you even posted, once you close neighborhood schools, children have to cross into different neighborhoods where they are not accustomed to which gangs in those territories. And just even common safe passing away from your own neighborhood, number one, it's a safety issue. So whenever you're talking about education, you start off talking about safety. Mm-hmm. So when you look at what's going to happen next year in Chicago, I think there is going to be an increase in violence and issues that those children have to deal with, because I'm not sure that the mayor, the board, the decision makers are taking safety as number one priority. This is obviously a financial decision. As you close schools, you can cut salary, you cut operating costs, so there's a financial benefit, but what is the price that you put on education of a child, let alone the life of a child?
Okay. And, matter of fact, let's get something kind of straight right away. Just because you cross in the gang territories, and some people out there might believe, well, if your kid isn't in a gang, what does he have to worry about? It kind of doesn't matter. Even if you're not in a gang, if your neighborhood is discipled and you come from that neighborhood and you got to go to school in Vice Lord territory, they don't care that you're not a disciple. You come from that area, that automatically marks you right away. They're not going to – that whole, oh, I don't belong to a gang, I'm not in this.
Neutral.
I'm neutral, right. That don't matter.
Doesn't matter. It's rare. It's very, very rare that you find where a community or whatever would protect one kid. And it does happen. It does happen in certain
from
kids.
Their neighborhood.
But the thing
right.
is, see, a lot of times, and we're getting off, but a lot of times within those core gang, I guess you want to say core gang leaders, they do have that, look, nobody is allowed to touch this kid. Nobody. And
right.
they do have
right.
certain situations, but that's very rare.
Right.
To go for the most part, Ray, you're right with what you say. I mean, a lot of times, I don't really think when it came down to these school closes that they took a lot of these things into consideration. I think for the most part, they took the money. The money, how much money they can save, how much of a tax write-off or whatever you want to say it would be for the schools. My question is, though, what would they change? I don't even want to say private schools, but with them merging certain schools like this, are they really concerned about overcrowding the schools, or what are they going to do to accommodate that, if you have any opinion on that?
I think the plan is to take smaller schools and merge them with another smaller school or a school that's performing well. The net difference is going to be an increase in class sizes. So if a school has, say, 16, 17 children in a classroom in a second grade class, they'll pair it up with another school. And so now that teacher is working with 33, 34, maybe 35 children. So the amount of time they can focus on each child is going to decrease immensely. And those parents. You know, it's going to be a lot tougher for those parents to have connections with the teachers, because that's way on the other side of town. So when I drop in and talk, that becomes a plan I have to make instead of I'm just going to drop by the school, which is close to my house.
Right. Now, you know what? I got a real problem with that whole theory that the school board and the mayor laid out about, well, this is a underutilized school. I thought that as a teacher – you want a small class size. That's more time that can be focused on your kid. And I thought that when you look at like KIPP schools or other charter schools or private schools, a Catholic school, the class sizes are very small. Mm-hmm. They're not rocking 30 kids, 35 kids to a classroom. And that's one of the benefits of having this private school education, because the teacher can focus in and have more time to focus on your kid and what he or she may need. So when they say that, okay, we're going to close this school or we're going to merge these two schools because we've got under enrollment, and the under enrollment was most likely caused by all the foreclosures in that poor neighborhood. Why would that be a good reason to close a school? I mean, you're a principal. Wouldn't you want your class sizes to be small if you could help it?
I don't think there's any debate about that. Everything you're saying is right, Ray. Again, like Devin was saying, it's a financial decision. And I think the other part of this is that Chicago has a history of not focusing on neighborhood schools.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the last 10 years, I taught in Chicago maybe 13 years ago in a neighborhood school on the west side. Our school was always ignored because all of our students wanted to leave and go to Whitney Young. This is before the Disney school or the Peyton school.
Right.
But the issue is, until you correct and address the entire system, to have one standout magnet school or a special charter school, you really haven't done anything special until you can say every child that goes to school in Chicago will get a quality education. That is our focus. That is our goal. So they're not really thinking about the impact on those kids in the neighborhood school. As long as they have enough of those top-notch schools to say, hey, we're making it happen here, I really feel the powers that be are willing to let those kids in the neighborhood schools suffer.
All right, Truth Brothers Radio. We're sitting here talking with our principal and educator, Rashawn Franklin. And did you have a question, Candace?
No.
Oh.
Well, real quick. This is a rumor that was going out there. I don't believe it, and it's just somebody had told me to ask this question, that during the teacher strike that we was talking about earlier this year, that it was put into that new contract that the teachers knew somewhat about all these school closings. Now, I don't believe it. I don't think the teachers knew, and they were supposed to keep a hush about it. I've asked one of my the person who we had on here for that show about it. They said it was a lie, and I just want to confirm it again with you. Do you believe or have you heard anything about the teachers knowing that a lot of these schools were going to close around our area in that contract or when they were discussing it during the holdout?
I don't know what's in the contract. I haven't seen it, haven't read it, but I remember there was conversation about school closing. So I think where the rumor comes in is that it may have been discussed at the bargaining table.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that the teachers' union actually agreed to it, because at the end of the day, they don't have any authority to block that
exactly.
or to stop it.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
And, yeah, everybody knows that they were going to close schools. They've been doing it for the past
right.
couple of years, but
this
they've
magnitude.
Never done any. Right.
Right.
That's they've what never
was,
done
this
anything
like
on this scale before.
That's what
it.
I was saying. Because
right.
the question that came to me that they knew, and like I said, it was a rumor going around, and it was proposed that they knew that it was going to be at least 40 to 50 schools closing.
Right. Well,
and
you know, you've
know
also got this right-wing Tea Party effort that they're going into the city on this mass level trying to organize because they like the school closings because this is supposedly smaller government and they like corporate schools and they think that is okay. Matter of fact, I'm gonna ask you, do you believe that schools should have to turn a profit?
I think anytime you have a for-profit school, you're mixing your mission.
Absolutely.
If you and obviously taxes pay for public schools, but the difference is if you you call in a landscaper and you ask that landscaper to design some shrubbery for you, it could be the most hideous thing in the world. And if you're paying for it, that is what that landscaper is going to do. So when it comes to for-profit schools, their main focus is making money.
Exactly.
Their main focus is telling you what you want to hear, because if you're paying tuition and you're a parent, well, you know what, Ray, I may not want to tell you all the issues that's going on with your child because you may get upset with me.
Right.
I want to take your child out of my
exactly,
school.
Exactly, right.
So it's more to my benefit to sugarcoat things, to keep you happy with the school and not tell you about the real deal issues that we need to deal with.
And it has been proven now. It's a lot of empirical data out there that shows that for the most part, pound for pound, these for-profit schools and these private schools do about the same, if not a little bit worse, than public schools, about pound for pound. They do about exactly the same.
Especially when you look at the data over time.
Yeah.
When you get that first buzz and that first blip, you know, one thing that people outside the industry don't understand, those charter schools and magnet schools, those teachers are required to work a longer day, which is good. Mm-hmm. They get more training, more professional development. A lot of them have selective enrollment or specific terms. So if a child has a disability, as a principal, you can say, well, this child is not going to attend school here. So that child can go
exactly.
out. So that's going to
exactly.
impact the data. And I think when you compare schools, you have to compare it apples to apples. So
right.
with those
right.
long working hours and the way that they are overworking those teachers, they have a lot more turnover. So they don't have any institutional memory where they can say over the last 7 years that they have sets and families sets of children from the same family that they know. When
right.
you come in and say, hey, yeah, I know you have my youngest baby, that's something they don't always have in those schools because the turnover is so high. What I think the big difference between a charter school and a public school, just looking at it from the public school perspective, is they are much more effective in the marketing aspect. They do a much better job publicizing what they're about with glossy pamphlets and commercials and here's what we're doing. But the nuts and bolts grind of it, walking into a classroom, and schools I've been in, the charter schools really aren't doing dynamic things that aren't happening in the public schools. They just have more of a media outreach and more polished marketing people to really publicize what they're doing so it looks good.
There you go. 818-514-1202 is the number if you want to call in and give Mr. Franklin a question. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who may not be buying what you're selling right now because they believe that, that charter schools are just the be-all, end-all. And the you know, UNO schools are very popular in Chicago, and they are growing like gangbusters. And I just don't understand how you can make an argument on one hand to close certain schools, and you talk about the budget, and we need to close these schools. At the same time, you're handing over money to these schools like UNO to grow and open more schools. You can't have it both ways. I don't believe you can anyway.
One thing I just can't wrap my head around. It was one of those things where you just got hit. You know, I remember the way it impacted me when I heard 54 schools were going to be closed. So, you know, just being from Chicago, having attended Chicago public schools, and to hear something like that all at one time, I mean, this is not anything that just happened overnight.
Right.
So for someone, we have a call?
Yeah, go ahead. Finish your
statement. For someone to get that type of information about so many schools closing at one time is devastating. What I guess I can't wrap my head around is why a more strategic plan couldn't have been put into place. Because, see, now you have all these parents who are going to be in a panic. And, you know, coming from, you know, the south side of Chicago and the crime the way it is, you know, now we're shipping kids way out of their way, mm-hmm. you know. And majority of these killings are babies getting hit that are not intended targets because people can't shoot. Or, you know what I'm saying, they're just totally just reckless. So with that being said, now you're taking your child, you're sending them way across the way, they're tired going to school, they got a long trip coming back home. Mm-hmm. Not, somebody's got to be there to meet the kids. It just seems so ridiculous. So instead of closing 54 schools at one point in time, do you think something could have been done to where maybe they've taken section, you know what I mean? Like maybe start with maybe 5 to 10 schools and gradually make this progression. Was it so dire, in your opinion, that it had to be done in this fashion?
Well, not knowing the numbers, what I do know from the outside looking in is that Chicago has a very aggressive mayor who's not a slow fix kind of person. You know, his role in Chicago is well known. He was supposed to be the president's pit bull. So I think that he's the type of leader that throws caution to the wind. And if there's some collateral damage, which is our children, on his path to his ultimate political.
Okay, Truth Brothers Radio. Yeah. Sorry about it. We had a little technical glitch there. Yeah, no, they just dropped out. Come on back. Yeah. They probably, everything just threw them off. That's
you were just
all.
Calling in the queue. Call back. We'll be able to live your mic up and get you in if you had a question for the principal here.
Yeah, you know, I totally agree with what you're saying. And, you know, we said it again on a couple of shows back that, you know, everything isn't supposed to be for profit. I mean, your hospitals shouldn't be for profit. Your hospitals are there to help people. That shouldn't be for profit. Your schools shouldn't be for profit. I believe your electrical grid and your utility system should not be for profit. That's supposed to be something to make the country stronger and safer. And, you know, all this, everything ain't supposed to be for profit. But we got our caller back. 708, you're on with the Truth Brothers. What's your name?
Hi, this is Melanie.
708, you're
on with Hi, my name is Melanie.
How you doing, Melanie?
Hey, turn your radio down.
Hi, my name is Melanie.
Still there?
I'm still here. Thank you.
Okay, go. What's your question?
Listen, I just wanted to comment and then also put a question. Even though I do and have heard about the school closings that will take place in Chicago, they have not already done so for this year. And yes, I do agree that it is very devastating, especially for the students in that community as well as the parents in that community. But I also want to throw this out to Mr. Franklin to see what his kind of response and his thoughts are on this. Because as an educator, when they think about closing those schools, there are myriad reasons why that occurs. Whether or not they publicize what the climate was in that school, what the suspension rate was, did they have parent volunteers, parent support, what was the absence rate, how were those grades doing, what actually was going on in the school. And did that also play a big role in the reason why those particular schools were chosen to be closed? And I wanted to know what his thoughts are on those factors that also can contribute to a lot of those issues that do arise within the particular schools, whether it's in the community or in those particular school district areas, and how important he thinks that those pieces could have played a part in them actually deciding to close those schools.
What? Wow. That's
a real good question.
Yeah, that's a lot of meatball. There you go.
First thing I'll say is that obviously I think that they did look at underperforming schools, and I don't even know the complete list of names of schools that are being closed, but underperforming schools and schools that have a history of issues would obviously be the first ones to target. But I think my concern is that it's not necessarily for the children. Those schools are easier to target because they probably have lower parental involvement, less flack that the administrators will get as they close those schools. And I think what I'd really like to see is proof and evidence that they have a plan as they close these schools, that they are planning for success, because sometimes schools are closed without a plan to ensure that the children going to the other schools are more successful. What I mean is, you look at a school that's being closed, tracking the student performance at the school they're currently at, and as they go to a new school, are they doing better? You know, that's a question that needs to be answered, because usually after a decision's made, administration and the public doesn't require that of the mayor or of the school board to prove that their decision was effective and to really review the data on it. It's just all the schools closed and we move on from it.
Okay. And then just the other piece to that, too, is even, and I'm not sure if it's actually been finalized at this point, but say they come back, because there has been, you know, a lot of riff out there in reference to the schools closing, and say they decide not to close some of them. I'm not sure where they're at with this at this point. But what would they need to do in order to make sure that those schools do not close, that there is a difference that is made? Because the bottom line is the education of the children. And I think that that's one of the big pieces that is missing, because if there's so much and so many other underlying factors that have been going on within those schools that we don't know about,
sure.
What is going to change if those schools, some of those schools, stay open in order to make sure that, even as you talked about earlier, the safety of the children are first and foremost? And I think that that is, in my mind, one of the biggest pieces. And the other question to that is, if the schools do not, say the schools do close and the students are then rerouted to the other schools, have they discussed putting in additional adults, putting in additional assistance, putting in some more programs? Has anything of that nature been discussed in order to make sure that the students then will have a fighting chance to improve based upon the reason why they closed the schools in the first place?
Yep. Well, I think you make a really good point. No matter whether they reopen those schools or table that decision, I think one thing that has to happen in Chicago and actually across the country is that the teachers unions and the administration need to start working more closely together. And I think what you see in Chicago, coming off the heels of that strike, there's not a spirit of collaboration. There's a lot of infighting going on, where teachers are afraid of retribution and whether it's legitimate or not. I think once you have a spirit of collaboration, people are willing to do more. They're willing to go above and beyond and making sure that the needs of children are met, where it's not just a spirit of almost like a gotcha mentality, where there's no teamwork, there's no collaboration, people aren't committing unified to the benefit of the children. Everyone's saying, I'm going to do my job. You know, in education is an industry where it can't just be a job, it has to be a calling, it has to be a mission. So truly looking at what those issues are in those schools that may be underperforming and putting a plan in place would be a better alternative. And maybe bringing in some external partners, some universities or some outside coaches to work with the staff and being really clear about the expectations. Because when I taught on the west side of Chicago, the one thing I always remembered is that the school I was in had a terrible reputation, but I worked with some of the most phenomenal kids that I ever have. But I also can say as a teacher, I had a really terrible administration that really demoralized the staff. People didn't want to come to work. And they really were just there for the kids, which is where it starts. But when the principal would say, hey, let's do something, the teachers look at the principal and say, no, we're just going to do what we need to for kids because there wasn't any camaraderie.
Dig that.
I want to thank the caller, Melanie, for chiming in with her questions.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll come back. We'll get more into this with Principal Franklin, Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
I really think the war on terror is a bunch of bullshit. Just a poor excuse for you to use up on your bullets. How much money does it take to really make a full clip? 9/11, building 7, did they really fool it? And a bunch of other cover-ups. Your shout, future was the first to go with bunch of cuts. If you think that hurts, then wait, here comes the...
Hello, this is Candace, producer of Truth Brothers Radio, here to inform you of a global epidemic that has afflicted millions of people throughout the ages. FUD, fucked up dumb disease. It starts at birth and progressively gets worse as the person ages. Everyday people that you know suffer from FUD. Like that guy at the grocery store.
Ooh, let me get around.
That girl that you work around. With. That weird kid that rides your school bus every day.
Oh, look at his head.
People that you know and love. Admit it. There is definitely someone you know and love who suffers from FUD. Famous celebrities such as Tyra Banks, Reggie Miller, Ray Allen, Forrest Whitaker, Steven Seagal, Val Kilmer, Rosie O'Donnell, Paula Deen are plagued with having FUD. Many FUD sufferers live in denial by stating that they just have a lot on their mind. But it's simply not true. For just 72 cents a day, you can help control FUD by providing these FUD victims with the necessary items, such as extra large hats, helmets, scarves, paper bags, to help these people cope with this incurable disease. Won't you help support Truth Brothers in our never-ending fight to control FUD and make a difference by calling 888-BIG-HEAD. That's 888-244-4323. Stop staring. Start caring. FUD. Just give a damn.
Why do our kids have FUD?
Truth Brothers Radio.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not.
It gets the people going.
Truth Brothers Radio, and we are back with our second hour topic discussing the Chicago public school closings. And we are here this evening with Mr. Rashawn Franklin.
Hello, yeah. Hello.
All right. And I got a question for you. How come closing or reorganizing a school is never as simple as saying, hey, we got we got a school over here that's in the bottom echelon and it's doing very poorly. Why don't we just take a look at what they're doing here at our best school and just emulate what they're doing across town over here? How come it's never that simple?
Fair question, but a really difficult answer. It's not just a Chicago issue. Across the country, everyone is still looking for that magic bullet of what programs can you put in place to ensure that every child is educated. And if you look across the country, when you talk about students who have been disenfranchised, that aren't afforded all the same luxuries, it does put them at a disadvantage. And so the work is to catch them up. The work is to expose them to field trips and make sure that they have the same background and that they have the same literacy skills. So I think what you said from just an intelligent, common sense standpoint makes a lot of sense. But the difficulty is you're not talking about an apples-to-apples conversation.
Mm-hmm. So it's just one of the schools that whatever – you can pick a school that's one of the 54 that's closing in Chicago probably doesn't have near the resources or the money that Walt Disney would have.
Definitely not. And resources, you have to think about it 360 degrees. You know, if you have a child that comes home, does the homework on their own, nobody checks the backpack, as opposed to mom and or dad a nice, rich network of concerned individuals checking on a child, you know, making sure the homework is done, knows when the spelling test is, knows when the evening events are. That's a whole different respect. And one thing that's, you know, larger in the school system is coming from a family of educators. You know, years ago in the 50s and 60s, those who didn't have education still had a respect for it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I look at my grandparents, didn't go as far in education, but all of their children have done well for themselves. And what I think we have to really do is take some ownership for that fact and say, hey, no matter what we've done in life, it's important that our children have more experiences than we do.
Yeah. And you know what? So, you know, that's kind of on all of us because as a society, we don't seem to appreciate smart like we used to. Now it's kind of cool to be dumb. It's kind of cool. Homer Simpson is way more popular than Mr. Spock.
Yeah, well, because they're going to have machines to replace all of you all anyway, at some point anyway.
No.
But it's... Go ahead, Devon.
No, I had a question because the caller made a point that I really was actually going to be my question at first when she had said that the schools that they are going to close and people are down there protesting and fighting and they're letting people come in and plead the case and they're bringing in the students and everybody to plead the case to keep their school, their particular school open. Now, it's actually like what she said. It's a question and a statement. My statement is people and parents. If you're sending your child down there to get them to reopen this school and they wind up doing it, you have to participate in that school.
Mm-hmm.
You have to
sure.
get down there and be involved in the PTA meetings and everything because once you get the school open, you can't dust your hands and say, all right, we've done our job because the next round of the school's closing,
mm-hmm.
they will be right back on the list and now they will have proof to say, see, this is why we closed the school in the first place. That was my statement. My question is, if they do decide to keep out of those 54 or whatever, let's say they keep open those five, what are the real chances with the given opportunity that the parents come down there involved and they do see a slight turn in the students? What are the chances that they're actually going to keep those schools open versus the next time they have us closing that they're going to say, well, no, we tried it, but we still have to close these schools because of blah, blah, blah?
Tough for me to answer, but I think that the answer is they will still be next up on the list because I truly think no matter what the issues are going on in these schools, that this is more of a financial decision.
Right.
So you may be able to get a stay of execution, if you will, temporarily, but 5 years from now, another budget crunch, these are the first schools, unless the parents can get so active that they can turn it around.
Right.
I have a couple friends who teach in some phenomenal schools in Chicago dealing with children that are coming from some really tough circumstances, so it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something that just kind of ticks me off. When they use the things to lure parents or to lure faculty or staff to say, well, we're going to close this school, but we're going to merge everybody into this school. And when we do that, they're going to get new computers and iPads and clean hallways. Well, why don't you just do that for the school that they're going to close? Maybe if they're working under those drab conditions, that would harm their education. And if you can put iPads in one school, you should be able to put them in all the schools.
Yeah, but you don't have the extra salaries to pay either.
Yeah, another thing that has happened that was last week, the teachers union got inside of UNO.
Right.
UNO, the teachers wanted the union inside of UNO. So that's going to be something where the teachers union is going to get into a lot of these corporate schools and then watch how the dynamics change, because the teachers that were working in those corporate schools weren't happy. They weren't happy at all.
Well, say earlier, charter schools had the highest turnover. So if you think about anything you've done in life,
Walmart,
your second year is not the same as your 10th year.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I know when I was young and I was a second year administrator, I thought I was talented, and I look back at some of the things that I implemented, and I look at it now and say, wow, I had good intentions, but I could do it better now if I was put in that same situation. So when you bring in the new teachers, this is for profit, right?
Yeah.
So for profit, we don't care how much experience you have. We want to get you as cheap as we can, work you as long as
you can.
Because
we have to make that profit.
And if you leave next week, we don't care, because we'll find another brand new person to replace you. We'll train them up. And hopefully we can do this song and dance that our scores look good and have our marketing people make it look glitzy long enough for us to renew our charter. And after we renew our charter, that's all that matters, because it's more about the money than the children.
Speaking of the money, it just dawned on me, and correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't the Illinois Lottery supposed to have so much money allocated to schools? Can someone help me with that?
That was the intention, but... what's happened is that they have reduced the amount that the General Assembly will give schools, so it's kind of a offset.
Exactly. When the lotteries do give money to the schools, they do, but the budget, they take whatever the lottery is given, they'll take it out the back door when they allocate the budget. So if the lottery is generated $2 billion for the schools, well, they'll get that $2 billion, but then when they allocate the budget, they're going to take the $2 billion out of what the state would have gave them to begin with.
I see.
Well, school funding is a whole nother issue.
That is going to be part of my other question. Now, with this first day, I remember when I was back in high school, elementary school, they used to tell us all the time, you have to be there for the first day of school because that determines how much money a school will get. How was that? I mean, I know a lot of now the schools I went to, like four of the schools, well, not four, some of the out of the schools that are closing, every school I went to is closing. Every school I went to is closing, and I always knew.
Wow.
Yeah, every school I went to is closing.
Maybe it was you.
Yeah, it was me. I left my mark there.
Only
here. Shout out to everybody who went to Alexander Dumas, Dunbar, OHMC, all them spots. Everybody
closing
knows.
Dunbar?
Oh, yeah, Dunbar.
Oh, wow.
No. They're not closing Dunbar. I'm just saying shout out to my people. But they are closing my elementary school and my other high school.
Okay.
My question is, now I remember going to school, everybody wanted to be there the first day of school because one, they wanted to show off what they worked or what they got on that day of school. Now, I'm sure that hasn't changed, especially with fashion being as popular as it is right now. So if that first day of school is so important, how come these schools aren't receiving the money that they were supposed to see for that first day?
Well, they are. And the way the budget works and the taxes is, every school in Chicago really could have comparable budget and materials, because there's not a separate budget for the West Side schools compared to the South Side schools or North Side.
Dig that.
It's all one district. So it's up to the district to allocate how that money is spent. So in the suburbs, the central office staff decides what goes to each building. And within the South suburbs, per se, there's a different school district every couple of towns. But there's no reason for, when you think about the tax base, it comes primarily locally from residential taxes, but also commercial. when you look at Chicago, big businesses downtown, a Magnificent Mile, there's a huge tax base. That's why they are able to afford to do certain things. But they do make some administrative decisions and say, hey, we're going to build a brand new spanking school on this side of town, right? Mm-hmm. Because we need to make sure our Gold Coast families have a school to send
Walter Payton.
It's all wrapped together into the finances. And the tough part is that those who get shortchanged are going to be those who don't speak up enough. You know, those who are not voting enough to make the politicians nervous that, hey, if we shortchange this group, then we're going to pay the price for it.
818-514-1202. You know, in Chicago, a lot of people need to wonder why the UNO schools, which do pretty well and nice buildings, and when school is in, I know one particular street where they'll totally take over the street, shut it down so the kids can get to school, all happen to be in predominantly Hispanic neighborhoods, but they ain't cropping up one in the Black neighborhood. Because look who speaks up and look who don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, UNO schools are politically connected with a lot of powerful Hispanic politicians in Chicago. And so there's been a lot of issues about the contracts that they have been granted, and they want to know if it was due to campaign contributions going to the mayor.
Mm.
So there's a connection there.
818-514-1202. I know we got a pretty big board out there. It's been grown a lot, and I see a lot of teachers in there. Come on and raise your hand and shoot some questions this way, because your experience and your knowledge is definitely needed to contribute to this conversation. 818-514-1202. And yeah, I mean, these for profit schools, I mean, they shouldn't be able to allow to make political contributions to begin with, because they should be on an even par with the public schools, and your public schools can't make a contribution.
Yeah. Definite conflict of interest.
Yeah.
I agree. Wholeheartedly agree.
Now, what solution? I mean, if for these because I keep going back to the schools that are closing, and it to me, my brother had actually came, like a school that I knew, but a school that me and my brother had went to was closed. And that kind of, I didn't think it would affect me like it did, but it's like the memories that I had in that school was kind of like, man, I can't believe they closed in that school. And what options or what actual chance do these parents have of getting some of these schools to not close? If they were to, what can they do, rather, to try to convince them to not close these schools?
That's a tough question. I think obviously numbers matter, being able to organize and get enough people excited. But as you spoke to earlier, in a lot of those schools, I would assume, without having specific knowledge, that they don't have a lot of parental support. So to get a group of 50 or 60 people to come out and talk about school closing is going to be hard. But I think it's critical that people do speak up, that they make sure that their voice is heard. And even if they can't get the decision they want as far as the school being kept open, they need to talk with the new principal, new administration, about their transition plan. What are you going to do to welcome my child as a new student in our neighborhood into your school? You know, what does that transition plan look like, and how can you ensure that we're not going to have those safety issues, and making sure that they talk with the central office folks that there are, you know, safe travel for them, you know, that kids can move from one side of the city to the other side of the city without feeling like, oh my gosh, if I go to school, I might not come home.
Right.
And yeah.
And with them merging the schools and making, like, I guess they're merging these kids and they're saying that they're going to get a better education by going to this other school or whatever the case may be. And the class, like Ray had said earlier, went from having like 16 to 33 students in a class. And when that school starts to fail, this is really not a statement, not a question. I tend to believe that they're going to blame the kids coming from the quote unquote inner city or whatever to these new schools to bring this production down. And they're going to say that, oh, well, the reason this school is failing is because you brought little G-Ron over here from, I mean, I'm not trying to be funny, but you brought little G-Ron and his thug friends over here to Disney.
No, right.
So
that ain't going to happen.
Yeah, we know that. We know that. But I'm just saying, I think that that's going to be a gripe that some of these teachers are going to have.
And there may be some truth to that. You know, I think that's why it's important that those schools really have a transition plan that's clear, that we're going to have an orientation just for these new families. We're going to make sure they know our schedule, how everything is set up, and that these kids don't feel like outsiders. So as they go into school, they're sitting in segregated tables, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of similarities when you think about integration and the issues that came out of that as far as what we're looking at now here in 2013.
Yeah. Now, you know what? I tell you what, let's go ahead and go through our last break. We're going to take one more break. And then when I come back, I got a question for you about turning schools around. And we'll deal with that after the break. Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
From Truth Brothers Radio. As you may know, for 2012, Truth Brothers Radio has received two Jordan McHale Awards for Best New Show of the Year, as well as Best New Group or Duo, and we couldn't have done it without you and your continued support. Keep listening to the Truth Brothers live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com or call into the show at 818-514-1202 to listen and give us your questions or comments. Missed an episode? No worries. All episodes are archived on our Blog Talk Radio page, Facebook, or you can download episodes for free on iTunes. Be sure to check out our clips on YouTube and share them with your friends and family. Again, thanks for all the love and support as we keep doing that thing. Peace.
Truth Brothers Radio. Yeah, that's the producer supreme on the wheels of steel there, getting it in.
not exactly.
We're back, and I want to ask you a question. How hard is it when you get handed a school that's in the lower echelon, and they say, Mr. Franklin, we want you to turn this school around? How hard is it to get the kids on board with the new program, the faculty on board with a new program, to win their trust and to get them to buy into the way you want to do this?
Well, it's a huge undertaking, something I've experienced twice. The one school I can think of, the first year we only had 26% of our students reading at grade level. The second year moved to 40%, and then the third year it was at 63%. And that wasn't something I did. It was really about staff. Now, when you talk about staff, sometimes, you know, I hate to say this, but it's the truth. Everyone who wants to be a teacher is not cut out to be a teacher. And everyone who wants to be an administrator is not cut out for it. So you do have to change the climate. And there are some lumps you have to take even with students and also parents.
Question for you, with that being said. And, you know, this is just strictly opinion, and, you know, this is just how I think. I've noticed that over the years, because of budgets being, you know, not so high, for lack of a better term, but I noticed that teachers seem to be getting younger and younger and younger, to the point where some teachers don't even have children. And now they're in, you know, they are coming through the ranks with trying to grow, so to speak, with these upcoming classes. Do you think that is a positive thing, or if that could be an actual detriment to not have that actual experience?
I think on any staff, you want to make sure it's balanced. You want to make sure that you have some younger staff that connect and understand. They know what's going on in the children's lives, and they're not so detached from it. But you also need to have the veterans that have the years of experience that have been through different initiatives, and they can say, hey, you know what? This is going to work, or this is not going to work because I've done it before. But just on the young teachers alone, I think, if I can humbly say, you know, I started teaching at 22, and I think talking with some of those kids years later, I still was able to have an impact. So it's the temperament and the mindset that you have. But as we were talking about some of these charter schools, if you have entire staff with that turnover and everyone is a first or a second year teacher,
yeah.
So who's leading who? You know, the blind leading the blind when you don't have that balance of people who are beginning and those mid-year people who got it together,
right?
But they're still passionate about it. And then those veterans who are the old sages that kind of sit back, talk slow. They can tell you what's going to happen before it happens. They see it all coming.
Mm-hmm.
And you're so excited and moving fast. And they're like, no, slow down. I told you that's what was going to happen. You know, just like anything else in life.
I got a quick question, though. Not a question, but to go back to the young teachers, I mean, I, for the most part, I believe that because if students have somebody more that they can relate to versus somebody they feel like is another parent to them, it might feel like in some cases I feel like it'll help them, because I knew when I was in school I'd rather have somebody I feel like I could relate to versus somebody who feel like they was always telling me what to do, especially at the 15, 16 age when you feel like you know it all or whatever, like we were talking about earlier.
Right.
Having somebody you can relate to tends to want to open you up more, and you tend to, I think you produce well, and I think for the most part, you need the younger teachers, but you do need, like he was saying, the veterans there that can guide the younger teachers, because they're going to be learning just as much as the kids will be. So I think it's a mixed bag.
And, you know, and I don't want to make it seem like, you know, I don't think young teachers do a good job. That's not what I'm implying,
right.
Just for anyone who's listening out there. But I had, out of my whole grammar school and high school experience, I had nothing but old school teachers, nothing
right.
but, except one in high school. And I just noticed that being a teenager, she wasn't much older than us, maybe, I'm going to say, 6 to 7 years older than us.
Okay.
Okay. But she couldn't get the respect out of, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought, you know, her personality came off like she would be best suited for younger students, you know, of course. But it just seems like, you know, and it's just funny, like certain stories that we'll hear, even some of the terrible true stories that we even read.
Right.
You know, I just think that some just maybe too close in age with, you know, especially high school students where, you know.
Yeah, here we go.
I'm not going there, but you know, I mean, you get the general idea of where I'm at with that. But I do agree with you, Mr. Franklin, that it really does call for a balance.
Right.
You know, you want to still be relatable to the kid, like you were saying, Devon, but it's that fine line where, you know, you have to be strict enough to make sure your agenda gets pushed across.
I mean, it's a matter of not crossing that boundary. I mean, we all, like, you know, we've had Red come on a couple of times. Red Summer came on, and she's not that far in age from me. And, you know, I mean, everybody looked at her like, oh, that's Red, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, the most part, it's because of her, like you said, her presence in that class. You just you stopped and you just listened. I mean, it's how you carry yourself at the same time.
Yeah.
Don't appear too jokey to them. I mean, be relatable, but still command some form of respect. Don't sit down and put your arm around a kid and just be buddy-buddy with them all the time.
Yeah.
But still appear approachable, you know. And I think a lot of times the young teachers, they're so used to wanting to be cool with the kid.
I know exactly what you know, and this, that, and the third, that
leaves the door open to a kid to feel like he can approach a teacher in a certain way, like, oh, so what you doing at the class, Ms. Robinson?
or whatever the claim.
Right,
yeah.
Right. You have to be firm. I agree with what you're saying, and there's a cliche we use all the time in education that but the kids don't care what you know until they know that you care. So the fact that you connected with the young teacher was really more about the connection of knowing that teacher cares about your success.
Right.
When I was 22 and teaching on the west side of Chicago, I know I got more respect than some of the veterans because the kids take off their hat, pull out their earring when they walk past my classroom.
Mm-hmm.
But they go down two doors, and that teacher was kind of tired and worn out, didn't feel like harassing these knucklehead kids, and they didn't give them that respect, you know. Mm-hmm. And they would even come to my classroom, "Oh, Mr. Franklin, you bogus." I said, "Well, you know what? Mr. Bogus. Make sure you say Mr. Bogus."
Right.
I
know,
that's
right.
Because I will sweat
you
everything.
There you go.
Because you will appreciate it later. So with the younger teachers, you have to make sure they're mature. I mean, that's your point that I agree with.
Right. Let me ask you this. Do white kids, black kids, Hispanic kids, do they all learn the same?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I think, you know, the research out there says there's a bigger issue when it comes to economics, but not in the brain and not racially, that based on the economic situation, it can impact the opportunities and things kids are exposed to. But how children learn, it's still the human brain. They all learn the same way.
Hmm. I just think their opportunities, you know, to learn and to advance are very limited based on
where you live. Yeah, matter of fact, there was another show where one of those Tea Party activists for the corporate schools was on, and she didn't understand what was the importance to giving a kid breakfast before school, and she thought that was just a waste of government money to give a kid breakfast. She said, "Eat breakfast before you come there. What are the parents doing?" But how important is breakfast in relation to school?
Well, nutrition is everything, and as we all are learning more and more about health and nutrition, you know, what you feed your body, you know, a lot of us pay more attention than the gas we put in our car and how we clean our homes as opposed to what we put in our body. So if a child comes into class and is malnourished, their stomach is growling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about times where you've forgotten to eat and you were at work or you were doing whatever you're doing. You cannot stay focused and do well if you are hungry.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's another thing that worries me, too. But I guess it's about that time.
Well, we got to know we got Keith Kim Bulls on 19.
All right.
That's what I'm talking about.
But, yeah, we want to thank you, man, for coming on and hanging out with us, man. You are the second guest that we've actually had here since D. Cole. So that's a big, big, yeah, man. You fucking big footsteps there, man. Yeah. But thank you, man, and you definitely welcome back anytime. And, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. That's enough in the can. And everybody tuned in, and everybody out there who checked us out instead of the Bulls, we appreciate it. And we're going to let you know that if you're not listening to the Truth Brothers,
then the truth ain't easy.
Peace, y'all.
Peace.